step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Today on The Grave Talks, we continue our conversation about the Underground Paranormal Network with Austin Maynard. Now, when you put together these various locations, and it wasn't done like 1 week, you know, it took a little time to go to these seven locations, and you have paranormal investigations that you host in them, or do you kind of open it up for people to go in on their own? I mean, some of them are businesses. You don't want to just go here. You get a walk around Father John's microbrewery all night long. Because they're going to be trying all the beer, but... I mean, I would, but how do you host these various locations?
Well, we have, basically we open them up, privately, like teams can rent them. And we try to keep the prices as low as we can. I think the most expensive one we have is Father John's, to just do a normal ghost hunt is like $500. But for a couple hundred dollars more, you actually can rent out the entire Airbnb aspect, which is the parsonage, which has four bedrooms and five beds, full working bathrooms, like all this stuff, and you can stay until from like, you know, 7 p.m. to 11 a.m. the next day. Most of it is just like that, like opening up for private teams, but also we do some public hunts, mainly at like Middle Point in the Village. We do some at Broadwell Funeral Home as well. Maybe one or two a year at each location, but for the most part, it's just scheduling, coordinating, and we have people at each location that will go out and sit on site in case of an emergency. Plus, our insurance requires it.
Yeah.
But essentially, the teams will rent the location for the night, and we have somebody on site like that. They're not like with the team or whatever. They're just, you know, on site, either at base camp or out in their car or something, just in case of an emergency. But that's basically how we do it.
Now, the Father John's microbrewery, it's an old church that was built in like 1895. So it's a brewery restaurant. It looks so cool. Like, I would love to just go hang out there and have a beer and dinner. But it looks like a cool place. But we were talking about it before, and the guy who owns it has brought in different artifacts, kind of religious artifacts from all over. And do you think that has any influence on the energy of the brewery?
Oh, big time. I think that it's essentially he's created. I mean, personally, I like to think about it as like a culture war spiritually, because I mean, and I've had multiple, you know, psychic mediums or people in the field tell me that, like, that's what they are picking up on, is kind of like just almost like a conflictive, I guess, is that the right word? Kind of attitude and energy about the place. You know, he built it, or he put all this together with the intention that, like, all religions are welcome, you know, and that's great, you know, and I think that has an influence on the energy there as well. It kind of might keep everything at bay just because it's all, you know, peaceful intentions kind of thing. But I think that, you know, yeah, I mean, that's a major, major aspect of the haunting there. I mean, but you also have the history of the church itself, which there were no actual, there weren't any like deaths on the property as far as we know. And honestly, there's a, I know we have a crypt room down in the basement. Now the crypt room is interesting because according to John, of course, when he was doing excavating down in the basement for the restaurant, he was trying to create like a, he was looking for like for plumbing, like drainage pipes and stuff yeah. from the kitchen to the thing. And apparently as he, when he got, when he started tearing apart the ground, it kind of collapsed in. And so they pulled out all the rubble and the stones and found a casket.
Oh, wow. That's an interesting find.
Yeah. I mean, it's about 4 feet below the ground. There's no history on it. There's no information on it whatsoever. And so a lot of people around town doubt it. You know, they're like, oh, you know, you put it under there. And it's, I mean, I don't know. And I will say that I don't know. But when you look at, and I've actually been down inside of it. Like, because he's got some like glass over top, like one of those glass floors that you would find at like a Japanese restaurant. Like when you walk in, you got the fish, mm-hmm. you know, swimming underneath you. It's kind of one of those things. And I got underneath that. We took off the metal grating that was next to it. And I went down in there. I mean, that thing is like, it looks like it was put in from the opposite end. And I mean, it's wedged in the rock down there. It's not concrete. It's like rock. So I don't know.
It kind of makes me think. So you have to wonder if maybe back in 18 or 1900, one of the original pastors of the church died and they're like, well, we'll just bury him here.
That would not necessarily make sense because that was like that was more or less a Catholic practice. But it was a Catholic thing. I know that over in Europe, they used to do with a lot of Catholic priests around the or Catholic churches around the United States have that too.
Yeah.
Where they're the one of the priests is buried, or even multiple priests are buried under the church. But with this one, the church was Episcopal,
which wouldn't have been in their practice.
Yeah. It wouldn't make sense. It really would not make sense. And so, I mean, there was a church there that was there before this one was built, but it was only like a one-story or a one-room wooden church. You know, like you just walk in and it's just the cathedral area or the sanctuary area. But that when they tore that down or it burned down before they built this one. The only thing that I can speculate, I mean, and this is just pure speculation, is that back in the early 1800s, like, well, I would even say like 1840s, even as late as the 1840s, there was that plot of land where the land that Father John sits on was actually connected to like four other blocks. Like it made a giant ass like lot, right? Like just one big giant lot. And on that lot was the original Bryan Cemetery. Oh. And so there were a number of plots that were actually moved over to the current cemetery, the Fountain Grove. And so at some point, that plot of land was broken up and into blocks, you know, residential blocks. And I mean, that's my biggest speculation, is that maybe somebody buried somebody over in a different part of the lot.
Could be.
And that just, I mean, there's a lot of unknowns with it. And that's what is so fascinating about it. But people get responses from it. People talk to it. I've had activity. I've had responses. I've even had really negative responses from that room, from that entity. Even when I went down underneath and put, you know, I did an EVP session, held the recorder right down next to the casket. And I got some nasty things, but I don't know what that necessarily tells me, except that there's somebody in there.
I'm not resting in peace with you holding that recording device up next to me.
Well, also, you know, when John found it, he could have easily just filled it back in, you know, but he didn't. He cleaned it out and then put a glass panel over it. And then in that room specifically, the crypt room, you can actually like eat in that room so that he he suspended a table or like a table that's shaped like a cross. He suspended it from the ceiling using old chains. And now you can eat in there.
Oh, my God. That's kind of cool and kind of terrifying to me at the same time.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I mean, it's cool. But I mean, depending on how you look at it, you could also see it as like extremely disrespectful.
Yeah, kind of taunting.
Well, I mean, yeah, because you just disturbed this dude's grave. Yeah. And now you're just allowing people to eat over top like it's a spectacle.
And entertainment.
And I mean, some people, it depends. I mean, that's why Father John's can be a controversial kind of place because, you know, people will look at it from a bunch of different perspectives, you know, and it can be good or bad. But at the end of the day, it is what it is. And I think it's awesome personally. But
and what about the Williams County Jail? Now, that's an old building as well, like 1860s, 70s in there.
69,
I found that, you know, I've talked to so many different jails and prisons that are very haunted, and I get why they would be. You know, you think about what happened in these buildings, and the jailers might still be there protecting everybody from these bad guys. But there was a couple bad guys in that jail.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you got the most well-known one would be James Robert Engel. Jim Engel, basically he was a sailor in World War II. And when he came back to Bryan, he went up to the library one day, I guess, and saw this new librarian that came into town from Tennessee. She hadn't even been there a year, if I can remember correctly. And he saw her and apparently just got this strong urge to kill her. That's what he said when they arrested him. But so like basically he left the library, came back sometime later towards closing time. And he went down into at the time it was the historical archives, which is in the basement. And when it was time to close, she came down to let him know, and he just attacked her. And essentially he started beating her, he strangled her, he beat her head against the floor, and then stabbed her 27 times, and then left, and then at some point came back because they saw bloody footprints go from the basement all the way up and out the door. And then seeing them come back inside, back down to where she was. And he beat her some more.
Brutal.
Then, disappeared for, you know, a couple days, but turned himself in at some point. But yeah, I mean, it was bad, but when he was arrested, he was booked at the Williams County Jail. And we actually have his original, or we had it. I have a picture of it, but the sheriff, former sheriff, he had actually the original booking card for him, laminated. And I had it in my possession for one of the events. And I brought it, like, I just brought it out to the jail so people could, like, look at it during the hunt. Yeah, I mean, it was... I mean, that was a big infamous murder for sure. But I mean, there were a couple other guys too. I mean, I think one of the most well-known ones was the Andrew Tyler. I don't know if you read anything about that one or not.
I don't know that I did.
So, so this one is really interesting. Now, have you ever read the book Of Mice and Men?
Oh my gosh, like when I was in high school, which would be more than I want to tell you. It's been a long time.
Well, I don't know how much of it you remember, but I only remember the book because of the fact that this guy, Andrew Tyler, like this story almost seems like it could be the basis for the book. Andrew Tyler was a traveling con man type of guy, you know, like selling the snake oil type of thing. And he came into Brian, and apparently people saw through his bluff or whatever, like they didn't want to mess around with him. And so him and he had a big, I hate to use this word, but like a big kind of dopey sidekick, right? Like, so he was the con man and the other guy was the brain or the brawn. He was the brains and the other guy was the brawn. And so they came up with this plan to kidnap a wealthy family's son and hold him for ransom. And problem was, is that when he did that, the people, the family did not pay the ransom. They didn't want to pay it. They weren't going to negotiate with terrorists or whatever he said. And so Andrew sent the big guy to take the kid down somewhere in a field and find, and basically the big guy swung the kid around and bashed his head up against the knot of a tree.
Oh, that's horrific.
And yeah, and then the family, at some point, they found out that it was Andrew Tyler and his buddy. And it was supposed to be a private hanging. Like, he was sentenced to death by hanging. And this was the first and only time anybody's ever been a public execution or any kind of hanging in general. So the townspeople were so mad that they tore down the fence and they wanted to lynch him, basically. So they rung him up, gave him his one last request or one final, you know, whatever. And he said, he asked him to shorten the rope a little bit. And so they abided, not obviously not knowing that whatever, but when they dropped the floor, he didn't die. He didn't break, it didn't break his neck. So he sat there kind of being strangled by the rope. He was just sitting there hanging, and it just horrified the people. So they pulled him down, brought him back up, restrung it, lengthened the rope this time, and just got it done and over with. But the people were so horrified by all of it that was the first and only public hanging in Williams County. But the other guy was sentenced to like prison, but he was actually sent. He ended up going to a mental institution for the rest of his life. But yeah, I mean, it's really this he. But like as he was being hung, he was hung in Bryan on the grounds of the original Bryan jail right there on the square. And this is kind of interesting because this was like 1849 or something like that, 1847 possibly. But one of the things that we found interesting is that we've actually found journal entries that talk about some of the former deputies when they moved over to the new jail, the one that I run, they would claim that they were haunted by the spirit of Andrew Tyler in the jail. Like, and even some of the inmates claimed that they would see Andrew Tyler walking around and so that's kind of interesting. Like,
yeah.
Since the jail was built, and people have claimed hauntings with it.
Yeah, and that goes back. I mean, that's...
Oh, way back, way back.
Yeah. That's interesting. Do you get, or different groups in and out of there, are they getting quite a bit of activity in the jail?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And which is interesting because, like, when I first, like, the first, I don't know, I'd say, like, 3 years that I was doing work at the jail and doing the tours and everything, like, it really seemed like kind of a normal jail scenario where like it was like lights out at midnight, you know what I mean, and so everything would just kind of shut up. And so we I don't know, even when Nick and Deathwalker, when we shot the episode there, even then it was like it like shut down at midnight, like spirits stopped talking, all activity was just kind of dead. But lately, the last couple years, I mean, activity has dramatically increased, and it's going all throughout the night. I don't know. It's just interesting that the activity level seems to have increased the more. But I also think that, you know, with all these teams coming in and opening the doorway, asking, you know, essentially inviting them all in, you know, which, I mean, that's how it goes with hauntings typically. The more you let people in, the more they might bring in. And so, but I mean, you're also talking about thousands of people over 130 years of it being an active jail coming in. And there were, we've been able to confirm 4 deaths in the jail. 3 of them are suicides. I mean, yeah, there's a lot more to be found though. Cause like I have only been able to find those.
Now, out of the other locations, because I mean, we're not going to have time to talk about each one of them. But what do you find out of the other locations? What's one of the most active locations you have?
Well, that's a tough one. One, because I guess the question would become what defines the most active.
I guess that's true.
Because like if we're talking about most like frequent activity or most common activity, probably the Broadwell Funeral Home or the Village, just because the Village has such a wide range. I mean, it's got like 26 buildings across 30 some acres. Like there's so much. If one part of the Village isn't active, there definitely another part might be. I mean, they're all very active in their own way. And it's interesting because each of them has kind of a different style mm-hmm. of haunting or like different, I almost want to say personality of the building.
That makes sense, actually, because they would all be unique in.
Yeah.
And what's going on there. And what
people because
pick
I think
up
some
on.
There are some of the locations have had darker things happen. Some of them are more, just friendly haunted, like people that worked there for 40 years or something and they're just still coming to work every day or something, you know what I mean, like stuff like that. But yeah, I mean it's that's what makes it so interesting. That's why I love it so much, is because it is all different. You want a dark scary haunting that where you might get attacked? Well, I got some of that for you. You want something friendlier? You want something more docile and wanting to communicate with you like that? I got that for you. That's why I call it a playground. It's like whatever you want, whatever you like.
It is. Find it for you. It's like a supernatural playground. And you could have, you know, if you're at this level of investigating, maybe you're not ready for this particular location. This is going to be intense. This might be more for you.
Yeah. I mean, I don't typically like to offer options like that. I guess I don't like to, I'm not a salesman in that sense. I want people to experience it all of them, but I don't like to even like put out the stigma, or like I hate giving people information about like what I always want people to find out for themselves, rather than just like I could tell you whatever about a location. It doesn't matter until you actually go and experience it. It won't hit the same, you know?
Yeah. And I appreciate that, because I think too, if you were to be putting out certain tidbits of information about one location, if you go in there to investigate, now you're going to be thinking about that and expecting mm-hmm. that. And I think that could influence what your experience.
Oh yeah. Because you're looking for something specific when you do that. You're going to go in there looking for something specific, but you may miss other important pieces of information that we're still looking for. You know, like that's the cool thing about that. Or I guess that's what excites me about them the most about these locations, is that there's still a lot of mystery involved. Like we know there's activity and we know some of the history. We know a lot of the history, some more than others, of course. Like some, we know more about some locations than others, of course, but, like that's so important to our research, is like we go in there and we'll figure out, like we'll see what people are telling us, like correlating names, dates, information, stuff like that, and look into it, you know. And that's how we found out about Rosalie, the girl at the Broadwell Funeral Home, like ended up being like a disappointment child, and she was kept in the attic when they had a funeral going on because of whatever reason. But there's no pictures of her. The only record of her is her birth certificate.
So the like after, why did they keep her in the attic?
Well, have you ever heard of a disappointment room?
Actually, no. I kind of can figure out what that is. I've never heard that term exactly.
So a disappointment room is where you would put a disappointment child. And a disappointment child back in the early 1900s, 1800s, it could be a child with Down syndrome. It could be a child with a deformity, somebody, just a child that you wouldn't want to present to everybody else.
Oh, that breaks my heart.
It was a horrible thing, and especially for her, because that attic would get hot as shit in the summer. But you know, it we wouldn't have known about her without us getting her name through ghost boxes and EVPs and, you know, stuff like that. And then when we found her birth record, and it's funny because, like, her father, Christopher Broadwell, the guy who founded the funeral home, like, he had other children, and him, his wife, and his other children, their lives are very well documented. Like, you can find them, their birth certificate, the schools they went to, the colleges, all the way up, their jobs, and then their, you know, married children, all that stuff. Rosalie, there's nothing except her birth record. Her birth certificate is the only thing that we can find on her. And it's funny because the people, when the owner bought the house, he said that his neighbors would sometimes come up to him and say, "Hey, I didn't know you had a little girl." And he goes, "I don't have any children." And they would tell him that, "Oh, well, there's a, you know, it looks like there's a little girl up in the attic window there."
Oh, wow.
And he had no idea what they were talking about. Like, no idea what they were talking about. And then plus, you know, he said he had several contractors come in at different points, and several of them actually ended up, like, running out of the house, leaving their equipment, refusing to come back. Like tools, like, you know, power tools, like doing work on a light fixture in one of the rooms, and scared out of the room, scared out of the house because of something that he experienced. I mean, I've seen poltergeist activity there. It's wild there, man. It is so wild.
And little Rosalie is all part of that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, but, like, those are, like, that's why the information that investigators find and stuff like that, like, if we start getting common names that continue to show up and we don't have any documentation on them, then it's like a signal that, hey, you know, maybe we should look into this name. Maybe we should look and see how this name correlates to the funeral home or to the Wendolin or to, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's very important.
Now, what's the best way for people to get information about coming to do an investigation, you know, in the different locations? Is it through Facebook, or would you rather, is there a website they go to?
Well, we are currently working on the website. Okay. We've actually got the domain name and everything. We've got it all. We're working on the calendar and stuff all like that. But for now, it's just on Facebook, the Underground Paranormal Network Facebook page. Is where typically go, but I think almost all of the locations do have their own paranormal Facebook page. But like Father John's is one that is a whole separate page that they run for, like, the restaurant and for the music and all that stuff. But I don't have, like, I don't have a separate Facebook page for the Father John, so it's just typically through the Underground Paranormal Network. So everything, really, Underground Paranormal Network is where you would go to contact us about booking a location or finding out more information about a location.
Because I originally saw the Wendolin, and that's when I reached out to you, because I was like, this is a haunted restaurant bar. That would be awesome. Then I found this whole other thing in this Underground Paranormal Network, and then once I got to looking at that page, I saw all of these other sites, and I found it so interesting. So
Wendolin, definitely a cool one too. Wendolin has some really, you know, and I found it something that I've really found interesting. There's a guy, General Anthony Wayne. I mean, and this was like pre-Revolutionary War, I feel like. Because basically there was still the Spanish-Indian War going on, in Defiance, which is just 20 minutes south of me. But so General Anthony Wayne was a general in the army, of course, or he had his own army. And he came up from Kentucky up through across the Ohio River up into Ohio. And it's just funny because he traveled up through where the Wendelin is. Like the Fort Recovery and St. Henry are like right next to each other in Ohio. And they actually are usually the road that it's on is Fort Recovery, St. Henry Road. And so where the Wendelin is actually Native American land. And there were like settlements and stuff in that area. But General Anthony Wayne came up through there and they did fight a battle against the Native Americans in Fort Recovery. But the settlements for the Native Americans were over in the St. Henry area. And so, you know, those, it just makes you wonder how many of those guys, you know, the fathers and the young warrior men of the Native Americans went over and fought General Anthony Wayne and died, didn't come home to their families.
Right.
But then General Anthony Wayne continued to move north through the Middle Point area, up through the Defiance area, where the Auglaize village is. Then he started moving east towards Toledo area, up into Michigan. But it's just interesting that his army followed a path through at least three of our locations. I don't know how I found this information.
It's like a common thread.
When I was researching the Wendelin is when I found it. But I was like, dang, this dude actually, like, literally three of our locations were along his path.
That is really interesting.
Well, I don't know what that adds to the other two as well.
I want to say thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
I really appreciate it. And wherever you're listening, I'll just put a link right there to the page, or you can just search for Underground Paranormal Network on Facebook and you can find it as well, but I'll put a link so you can just click on that super easy. But thank you so much for doing this, Austin. This was really an interesting conversation.
No, yeah, absolutely. Well, I'd love to come back on in the future, and because there's still seemingly a lot that we didn't get to cover. So
yeah, I would love that. Let's do a part two.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. We could talk about that for sure.
And that wraps up our conversation about the Underground Paranormal Network with Austin Maynard. For more information, you can find them on Facebook. Just search Underground Paranormal Network. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything commercial free, then become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts, where you can try it for 3 days free, or go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you very much for listening.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At ChumbaCasino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what feels like forever? sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at chumbacasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T&Cs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T&Cs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At ChumbaCasino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T&Cs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away. All through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 30% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At ChumbaCasino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.